This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 1205. Welcome to the Thursday, October 4th, 2018 edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We're watching partly sunny skies and temperatures in the 50s. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
And the markets are deep in the red right now. Let's get the details from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Rob. We're looking at losses between 1 to almost 2% now. The Dow down 270 points. NASDAQ losing 156. That is the biggest loser, down almost 2%. S&P lower by 31. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down 1%. Government bond yields are surging, and that has investors pulling out of stocks, with the exception of banks and financials. Amazon, Apple, and the tech sector are really getting hit hard. Those companies are down more than 2% after a report by Bloomberg that they may have been hacked by China. Insiders at Apple and Amazon, as well as intelligence officials, tell Bloomberg China implanted tiny chips in servers used by companies and the U.S. government. Investigators think the attack impacted almost 30 U.S. companies, including a major bank, government contractors, and the world's most valuable company, Apple. Oil is also heading lower after its recent big gains. Crude still near $74.74 a barrel. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to be taking a look at that prediction of a Chinese trade war. And also, gas prices are climbing. Why and how much?
It's Technology Thursday. We will talk about the Chinese spy chip. Where is it and where are they located? And we'll take a look at the state of the housing market, too. All that and more coming up at the Noon Business Hour right here on WBBM.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
More cases of mortgage fraud are being reported as people fudge the numbers to qualify for a home loan. We're going to be covering that in our next segment. Right now, reports on factory orders, jobless claims are out ahead of tomorrow's government jobs report for September. Plus, some concerns about a trade war with China ramping up. We are joined by Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg here in New York. And Carl, thanks for joining us today. Is the fear, and there have been little outbreaks of fear about China, is this for real?
Well, I think the latest news, which was in a Bloomberg Business Week story about chips being inserted into electronic products, only fans the flames of escalating trade tensions. So, in the same week where we see the level of anxiety over trade wars diminishing with respect to Canada and Mexico, and maybe even towards Europe, if we think that the NAFTA 2.0 will also be a positive ray of hope for the Europeans. We see the relationship with China deteriorating. Certainly, we have to look at all of the commentary, and when we see President Pence talking about election interference and whatnot, this is just heating up the level of tension, which, of course, could likely be expressed in ongoing trade escalation, either on the tariffs that have already been put into place being nudged higher, or even being extended over a broader body of imports.
J.P. Morgan is saying there full-blown trade war becomes the next new case scenario. What would that mean for consumers and for the government?
Sure. Well, it'll mean higher prices for consumers, but not necessarily a one-off. So I think there's two more steps before you can say full-blown trade war. So one is to see if the current tariffs are actually nudged up from 10% to 25%. The next level would be then extending that to an across-the-board tariff on imports from China. And then I think we can say full-on trade war. It does mean higher prices for consumers, but we can't assume a one-for-one pass-through because it does nudge production into territory of some of China's competitors, whether it's domestic production here in the U.S. Or even other low-cost producers of goods like South Korea, Vietnam, other manufacturing centers in the region.
Now, this is the drop in the stock market. This is one of those a situation in which they could all be wiped out tomorrow. I mean, there could be a really good day tomorrow for the on Wall Street. But when you look at the 10-year yield, and that seemed to be one of the warning signs 10 years ago that an economic slowdown was on the way. Can you read these numbers and make a similar prediction?
Sure. Well, first of all, I would be cautious to tie the 10-year yield into escalating rhetoric around trade war. I think it's a very different issue. Actually, that issue was exemplified yesterday when we saw the non-manufacturing ISM survey released. It was much stronger than expected. That's a gauge of activity in the service sector, the private service sector of the U.S. economy, which is most of the economy. That was a very strong result. And that signaled that despite all the concerns about trade tensions, the U.S. economy is performing quite well, and that all of that strength we saw in Q2 may not pass through completely into the third quarter, but we are seeing signs of carryover. And so the economy is on sturdy footing, or sturdier footing than traders expected. Then that could mean a more aggressive Fed, and so we saw yields moving up across the curve, two-year Treasury yield backed up, 10-year Treasury yield backed up even further.
Meanwhile, in other news, as we talk about all of the negative indicators today, U.S. weekly jobless claims dropped to a near 49-year low. Two-part question for you. From the kitchen table's perspective, this is all the stuff we're talking about is yet to really filter in. And second, who knew in 1969 that from an employment standpoint, those are the best years of our lives?
Well, in 1969, don't forget, we had the draft for the Vietnam War, so there was an even tighter labor market than what just the private sector numbers would suggest at the time. So to be back to 1969 levels truly signals that how lean conditions are becoming in the labor market. We see that in jobless claims. We're likely to see that tomorrow with the unemployment rate likely to edge another tenth lower. We're seeing it in an array of labor market indicators. So all along in this cycle, we've been waiting for the economy to hit that sweet spot where workers would have a little bit more bargaining power and start to earn higher wages. It finally looks like 2018 at last is the year where that occurs.
Carl, thanks so much for joining us. Carl Riccadonna,
my pleasure.
Chief U.S. Economist at Bloomberg in New York. And coming up, we learn what's behind an increase of mortgage fraud.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The risk of mortgage fraud is on the rise, and property analysis company CoreLogic reports more than 12% year-over-year increase. Let's dig into the reasons behind the trend with Guy Sakala, who is the publisher of Inside Mortgage Finance, based in Bethesda, Maryland. Guy, welcome back to the program. The first reason, or the first instance of mortgage fraud seems counterproductive, where someone lies about their income in order to qualify for a loan. In the end, don't you end up having to pay for a mortgage you simply can't afford?
Yeah, it's problematic, as you identified. And, you know, it's one of the byproducts of what has been very tight underwriting. And now we're starting to see some loosening of the documentation. You know, 6 or 7 years ago, right after the financial crisis, people had to produce 2 years of tax returns, and lenders got them directly from the IRS. That was kind of onerous. And what we've seen since then is they've resorted to W-2s, pay stubs, and other things that are a little more prone to fraud if borrowers want to go on that route. But at the end of the day, yes, they're the ones that are suffering, not necessarily the lenders.
Is this simply a case of the financial crisis was so long ago that people forgot about all of the chicanery that took place in the mortgage space leading up to it?
We always seem to have a short memory when it comes to past problems and learning from that. this stuff tends to go in cycles. And, you know, we have a period where everybody's good and underwriting's very tight, and then we start loosening and people start pushing the envelope or even committing fraud. And it goes the other way. Unfortunately, that's the direction we seem to be moving in now.
Are we using technology to the extent that it could really help resolve some of these problems? You could see what somebody has in the bank, or you know, are they available? Are they, should they be granted this mortgage?
Yes, but again, we're loosening those standards. You know, one of them was verification of assets or bank statements, and at one point, they were looking at 2 years worth of bank statements, which obviously established a payment record or deposit record or whatever else. Now we're seeing some lenders who are willing to do 1 or 2 months. And you can see that that creates more issues and it's easier to manipulate something like that.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Guy. Interesting story, Guy Sakala. And still ahead in Technology Thursday, there are conflicting reports about Chinese spy chips infiltrating the tech sites of American companies.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. WBBM Business is sponsored by Lakeside Bank. And from Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, it is a losing proposition on Wall Street. We are seeing our biggest losses, in fact, of the day. The Dow down 315 points, NASDAQ falling 171, or more than 2%, S&P down 35. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by more than 1%. But we do have one company bucking the trend, Eli Lilly. The drug maker says an experimental diabetes medicine helped cut patients' weight and blood sugar levels. Eli Lilly up 3%. And Constellation Brands is riding higher in the wake of its takeover of the marijuana company Canopy Growth. The deal is expected to close at the end of this month, and there are plans for legal cannabis-infused drinks to be sold in Canada. Constellation is the biggest gainer on the S&P, up almost 5%. Crude oil futures are down for today, lower by 2% to $74.60 a barrel. Now for grains, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have mixed grains early in the day, and we're higher across the board at the moment. Corn's been unchanged, up 4 at the moment. December up 2 3/4 at 367.5. Beans have been down 1.5 to up 7.5. Right now, November's up 2 3/4 at 864.25. And after a 7 cent range, wheat up 2 3/4 at 518. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are taking a big hit today. We'll see what's dragging down Wall Street.
Technology Thursday, Amazon and Apple dispute a claim that tech centers run by the two companies and others were targets of surveillance by the Chinese government.
Gasoline prices approaching a four-year high. We'll learn why they're going up.
Closing arguments are being presented today at the murder trial of Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke.
There's party line disagreement on what's contained in the FBI report on sexual assault allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
Big losses on Wall Street. The Dow down 320. The NASDAQ off 170, and the S&P 500 down by 35.
AccuWeather says breezy and quite cool with clouds and some sunshine this afternoon, a high of 58. It's 55 degrees in Chicago. The Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
We're seeing red on Wall Street today. Chuck Lieberman joins us. He's Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Chuck, what explains what we're seeing on the markets today?
Well, it's driven beneath it all by strength in the economy, and that's driving up interest rates. And yesterday we saw a really big pop in interest rates, and we're seeing more upward pressure today, and that's clearly hurting stocks.
All right. BR, economic chairman here, why is that bothering investors?
Well, investors have taken the view that the Fed is not going to continue to tighten policy all that much, a little bit more, but not much more than that. And what the strength of the economy suggests is there really is going to be a lot more upward pressure on inflation, and interest rates have got to go up. They've got to normalize. And ultimately, the Fed is going to have to move not just to neutral, wherever neutral happens to be. It's actually going to have to go to restrictive. And that means that the stock market's going to be facing much stiffer competition from bonds for investor dollars.
So this is simply a case of the markets digesting bad news or unfavorable news, and then it'll eventually roll off.
Well, I would say it's digesting good news, excessively good news. It's not priced for the consequences of that, specifically higher interest rates. And so things have got to get repriced, and there's some sectors of the economy that need to get repriced quite a bit. Others are less vulnerable, but the whole stock market does need to be repriced.
What needs to be repriced specifically in your mind?
Well, the so-called interest rate sensitive sectors are the ones in particular that are most vulnerable. So that includes utilities, it includes real estate investment trusts, it includes consumer staples. Those are really very vulnerable. Another sector or another grouping of companies that would be somewhat vulnerable are those with lots and lots of growth, because what happens with a growth stock is that the earnings are out there in the future, and the further out in the future they are, the greater the discount that must be applied if interest rates go up. So very high growth rate companies are also fairly vulnerable.
Looking at the fundamentals of the economy, when you talk about the employment report, applications for first-time unemployment benefits are still partying like it's 1969, and any signs of trouble on the horizon, or is it clear skies and smooth sailing for the foreseeable future?
Well, for the economy, it's pretty smooth sailing. There's no doubt that businesses are still actively trying to hire and having a lot of difficulty doing it. And so one of the manifestations of that is the upward pressure on labor costs. Yesterday, Amazon indicated that it was going to raise the minimum wage that it pays workers to $15 an hour. Amazon's a big company, and that's not only going to raise wage rates directly, but it's also going to have knock-on effects on other companies that compete with Amazon. And maybe that competition is nothing more than competing for the same workers. If you have a plant or a business located near an Amazon warehouse, and Amazon's suddenly paying $15 an hour, you might have to up your pay also. And so this has an inflationary effect across the economy, and so economic strength begets upward pressure on inflation.
Are you seeing any signs, Chuck, of 20 years ago, 99, or 10 years ago, and, you know, as we were getting ready to march into a huge recession?
No. First of all, the really significant, extraordinary situations that existed both in 99 and in 2008 are just not present. The financial system is vastly healthier. The banks have been forced to add a tremendous amount of capital to their balance sheets. They are clearly a lot healthier. There's no excess as occurred in the tech sector back in 99. When you look around the economy looking for obvious problems, it's hard to discern that there are any. Maybe some will occur over time, but we're a long ways away from that. In the meantime, the economy is just rolling along at a very healthy clip. And in fact, it's almost too healthy. We're creating almost 200,000 jobs per month. And that's a problem when the labor force is growing in the ballpark of about 75,000 per month. So almost every month on average, we're putting a little bit of downward pressure on the unemployment rate, making labor scarcer, and making firms pay up more, increase wage rates to find the labor that they need. We now have more job openings in the United States than we have people who are unemployed, and that's been the case for 4 months in a row. So the economy is doing very, very well, and the biggest problem that I see down the road is we're going to have to adapt to higher interest rates and a little bit more inflation, which is probably desirable.
Well, thank you very much. Chuck Lieberman, Chief Investment Officer, Advisors Capital Management in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Coming up in Technology Thursday, the latest on spy microchips that the Chinese government has reportedly used to spy on American companies.
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, which is sponsored by Hearing Help Express. Amazon and Apple are strongly disputing a Bloomberg report that says their tech centers have been infiltrated by China through the use of spy microchips. Let's learn more from Adam Levin, who is the founder of Cyber Scout and the author of Swiped, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves, based in New York. Adam, welcome back to the program. Where are these chips located in cyber infrastructure? Is it in servers? Is it in smartphones? Is it in both?
Well, first of all, thanks for inviting me. These microchips were on motherboards, and they're implanted in networks. So they sit inside a network, and these networks, as you know, basically access everything within a corporate operation. So this is a pretty dangerous thing. One quote that somebody said, which I thought was quite interesting, is having this kind of a microchip in a network, again, if it's true, is like having the capacity to see a unicorn jump through a rainbow. You get to basically see all the things that no one can see, and it sits there. It can be undetected. It can alter the way operating systems work, and it gives a foreign power, for instance, access to intellectual property, to trade secrets, to data. It gives them cyber espionage opportunities as well. So this could be a serious, serious problem, especially because we're talking about these chips not only being in networks of business and industry, but also in networks of government agencies, defense agencies, and the like.
Are there other countries that do this? Would the U.S. be doing this?
Whether the U.S. is doing this or not, I wouldn't be able to tell you, but it wouldn't surprise me that other companies or countries are doing it. Yeah, I mean, we're living in a world where the cyber war has replaced the Cold War, and this is the way companies operate. You no longer have the guy in the raincoat running around behind doors and trying to compromise people as much as you used to. You now have this high-tech espionage. And China has always been pretty well known for it. I mean, there are many people who put China behind the hacks of the healthcare insurers in the United States, Anthem, Premier, Excellus. Also, there are people who, depending upon the day of the week, either blame North Korea or China for the hack of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. So China has always been well known for high-tech espionage. So this doesn't sound out of the realm of possibility for what they do, and it isn't the first time that they've been discovered doing it.
Thanks for the insight. Thanks for sharing that with us. Adam Levin is founder of Cyber Scout, author of Swiped, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, Identity Thieves, and he's based in New York.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Price of gasoline is making a steady ascent. Let's get an update from Phil Flynn, Senior Market Analyst, Price Group, and Fox Business News contributor here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Phil. What's going
Thank
on?
You. What we've seen, of course, is this incredible rise in the price of crude oil, which has really driven up the cost of gasoline. And people don't realize a lot of times that most of what you pay for a gallon of gas really is what the cost of crude oil is 50% of that. So when those prices are high, regardless of all the other factors, as summer ending and, you know, kids going back to school, at the end of the day, if crude oil prices go up, so does gasoline, and that's a big part of what we've been paying.
And where do you think it'll go from here?
You know, I think right now, you know, the bad news for all the people watching the stock market is the stock market is down. But when the stock market is down, it's actually cooled off the price of gasoline. But here in Chicago, I mean, we're already above the national average by almost 20 cents a gallon at about an average of 315. I think the national average is going to go up above $3 a gallon. That's the bad news for the country. The good news for Chicago is I think that once our refineries start kicking in the high gear, our spread will get closer in line with the national average. So we could see the rest of the nation prices going up, but in Chicago they could creep down a bit.
Now, is this simply a function of demand, just because the economy is rocking and rolling and chugging along and a lot of people are driving to work and a lot of trucks are driving goods across the country? Or is there instability someplace in the world that's driving up the price of oil?
I think if you look at it in the big picture, Rob, it's more about the economy. It really is. When we look at the economic data that we've seen coming out the last couple of months, the GDP, the manufacturing growth for businesses, all the businesses in the non-manufacturing and service sectors that are near record high, I'll tell you right now, it's really about the economy. And that's why, you know, even with these higher prices, the economy continues to tick along. But there's no doubt the situation with Iran, if it spirals out of control, if we find it impossible to replace barrels lost because of these sanctions, then it could start to hurt the economy if those prices continue to rise.
Well, thank you very much, as always. Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at the Price Group and a Fox Business News contributor based in Chicago. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, and Business News is sponsored by Baird. Here is Elisa Peretti.
Chris, no let up in the losses on Wall Street. The Dow is down 336 points or 1.25%. The benchmark, which was just about 70 points off 27K yesterday, is right now at 26,490. NASDAQ falling more than 2% or 179 points. Goodbye 8,000. Goodbye 7,900. We're at 7,847. The S&P down 38 points to 2,887. That's a loss of 1.33%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg also falling 1%. Wall Street's focus is shifting to Treasury yields. They're at multi-year highs. Tech, real estate, and consumer shares are all getting battered. China used a tiny chip to attack U.S. companies, including Apple and Amazon. Bloomberg Businessweek reports Chinese intelligence put the chips into their systems, and Apple has been conducting a secret investigation since it discovered them in 2015 and passed on the finding to the FBI. Amazon independently found the chip later and also reported it. They were inserted into Super Micro hardware and are suspected to have been used to spy on American companies and users. Amazon and Apple, their stocks both down about 2%. Pier 1 continues to struggle. Its sales fell more than expected in the last quarter. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.